Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
When we cast off from the dock in downtown San Diego, bound for a whale-watching adventure off the coast, I had no idea that meeting and visiting with onboard naturalists would be just as fascinating as watching the whales. The engaging volunteers, working under the auspices of the San Diego Natural History Museum, made the four-hour whale-watching cruise a fascinating educational experience, in addition to the visual and auditory experience of watching behemoth whales breach the surface and flash their flukes. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me aboard the MV Adventure Hornblower vessel off the coast of San Diego, where we not only encounter numerous whales, but fleets of darting dolphins and an array of seafaring birds.
My name is Jim Clevenger. I'm a volunteer naturalist with the San Diego Natural History Museum in Balboa Park.
We're in the open ocean off the coast of San Diego.
We are. And we picked a great day to be out here because it's warm, it's sunny, and it's not too bumpy out here. We have nice, pretty level seas out here, so this is prime whale-watching weather.
I was just thinking it's flatter than Lake Michigan.
Yes, and I'm from Lake Michigan originally, so I've been on Lake Michigan many times. It's pretty rough out there sometimes. Today is perfect whale-watching conditions.
Right now, what might we see?
Well, the primary whale that we'll see here is the gray whales that are now migrating down from the Arctic to Baja California, where the pregnant females give birth, and the mature non-pregnant animals, females, may breed down in Baja, in the lagoons down there. That trip starts in usually September, October. It's about a 5,000 to 6,000 mile each way trip, maybe 10,000, 12,000 miles round trip.
Isn't that amazing? They never get lost.
They never get lost. They seem to know where they're going, and we actually don't exactly know how they navigate it, but they do it year after year after year, and they've been doing it for thousands of years. We had a humpback out here yesterday that I understand reached 50 times. They are the world champion breachers, our humpbacks, yeah.
Maybe we'll luck out.
We could. You know, you never know what you're going to see out here. That's one of the great things about coming out here. And these are the gray whales. We have humpbacks. We have fin whales. Once in a while, we see a little minke whale.
I heard you see blue whales.
In the summertime, primarily in the summer. We do see some late spring. And then the peak season for blue whales is summertime here. And this boat, the Adventure Hornblower, does go out daily to go looking for blue whales in the summertime.
And they're bigger than a school bus.
They are the biggest animal ever to live on the Earth. They can get up to 100 feet long.
Wow.
And about 150 tons or more.
Now, have you watched them out here?
I have. I'm a volunteer on the boat in the summertime, and I was out here last summer and saw a number of them. Magnificent animals. They are a blue color, kind of a light blue color.
But they don't breach as much, right?
They don't. I actually have never seen a blue whale breach. And even the grays don't breach a whole lot.
But yet you saw them clearly because of the clarity of the water.
Yes.
And you saw them just cruising by.
And they do come up at the surface. The blue whales feed on krill primarily, which is these little shrimp-like animals that congregate in great groups.
So they're filter feeders.
They're filter feeders. They're baleen whales just like our grays and our humpbacks. That's right. One of the weird things about these whales, the hugest whales, primarily, are baleen whales. They eat the very small prey, but they eat tons of it.
Lots of it.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other whales that aren't filter feeders?
Well, the biggest non-filter feeder or toothed whale is the sperm whale. That's our very largest toothed whale.
So they like sea lions?
Sperm whales eat squid. They are squid hunters, okay. And they're very deep divers. They can dive down a mile to 2 miles to find their prey.
But they'll get whole schools of them and just suck
sometimes
them up
they'll get into a school and just go after the squid. Yeah, they're primarily a squid eater. Of course, we have our smaller whales. There are a number of beaked whales.
Well, individual squids would take forever.
You'd think
little baby.
There's some big squid, though. I don't know if you've seen these colossal squid that they sometimes find in Australia, for example, that are monsters. They weigh tons.
There was one that sunk a submarine a long time ago.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Among the other toothed whales primarily that we see around here are dolphins, which actually are classified as cetaceans or whales. But they're a subgroup, of course, and we see bottlenose dolphins here, common dolphins, and occasionally we see Pacific white-sided dolphins in the area. And once in a while, we even see a couple of other kinds of dolphins here.
Do they tend to be kind of indigenous to the area, or are they migratory?
Pretty much. Our dolphins do tend to be here pretty much year-round, particularly the common dolphin, which is by happenstance, the most common dolphin that we see in the area. Those animals run anywhere from maybe 8 to 12 feet, depending on the species. Sometimes they get a little bit bigger if you see a couple of different kinds of larger dolphins that may be farther offshore.
So what are some of the other, like, sea lions? Do you have sea lions?
We have lots of sea lions out here. We occasionally see a harbor seal out here. We see a big fish out here once in a while called a mola mola, or sunfish,
they're quite large.
Little
school buses.
Yeah, and they float up to the surface to bask in the sun sometimes.
Have you seen those?
I have seen those, and they're the largest bony fish, as a matter of fact. They can get quite large.
People think they're whales sometimes.
That's right, yeah. But they're not. Uh-huh. And just a week or two ago, I saw something pretty amazing. We saw a breaching thresher shark that breached four times right around the boat.
Was it trying to get something off of it?
Don't know. It just jumped out of the water, and our captain, Captain Chad, said that he's been out here 19 years and had never seen a thresher shark breach like that before.
Maybe something serious was chasing it.
Could be. I was thinking maybe something bigger was down there looking for a meal.
That's funny. So what are some of the other special things that most touching for you, special memory?
We don't see gray whales breach a whole lot, but they do breach occasionally. And one of the most memorable, I've been doing this for 7 years now. I actually work on two different whale boats as a volunteer, one for the aquarium and one here for the Natural History Museum. This was last year, I believe, and we saw two gray whales breach simultaneously.
Wow.
Side by side, nice. Simultaneous breaches.
Did you get a picture of that?
I did not. I did not have my camera with me, but I'm hoping somebody else got a picture of it, because
awesome. It's
a terrific sight to see those whales jump out of the water like that. The other thing that really sticks in my mind is last summer when I was out here with the blue whales, and we saw probably about 10 blue whales up at the surface of the water out by what we call Nine Mile Bank.
All together.
And there were several fishermen out there in small boats fishing, and the blue whales were coming up right next to the boats. And then, of course, they are much, much larger than those little boats were. So,
all right, that's our first tailfoot. Let's see if
they're coming. I don't know. We might have just seen a breach here. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it sounds asleep over here.
When they deep dive, sometimes they kick their... There we go. A nice blow out there at about 1 o'clock. And there's a nice tail.
Yeah. That's a giant tailfoot. Wow, it's definitely large.
This is a transitional time of the year when we start seeing some northbound whales. And the northbound whales tend to hang a little bit farther offshore than our southbound whales. We sometimes have to go out as far as 10 miles to find northbound whales, whereas the southbound whales tend to be pretty close into shore. Sometimes we see them going through the kelp beds right along Point Loma.
So maybe they're hungrier?
It's not so much that. We don't really know.
Thanks for sharing, Jim.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tom.
For further information for your organization,
Contact the San Diego Natural History Museum and ask about the whale watching program, and they'll tell you all about it.
Nice. Thanks again.
You bet.
Now let's join Leslie Rapp. She's also a naturalist with the San Diego Natural History Museum. But in Leslie's case, you'll soon discover that whales play a central role in her life journey, her spirit, and her heart.
Leslie Rapp with the San Diego Natural History Museum. What a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you, too.
Yeah. So you're a docent on board?
Yes, I've been doing this. This will be my 11th season
Wow. On
the program, and it's been wonderful.
We're way off the coast right now, aren't we?
Yeah, I believe we're probably like 6 or 7 miles from shore. We're on the Adventure Hornblower, really big, very stable, very comfortable boat to go whale watching.
So you've been doing this 11 years now, and obviously it works, or you'd be out of here. So what keeps you coming back? What keeps you enthused?
My passion and love for marine mammals, especially whales. I mean,
so they're your top of the food chain? They're your favorite?
Definitely the top of the food chain. In my passion, yes.
And what is it that hooks you? What is it that gets you connected with the whales?
I like it because we're in their environment. We're visiting them, and there's so much we don't know about them. And to be able to share my passion and love for these whales with passengers aboard Adventure is very fulfilling for me. I see little kids, 8 years old, and they're like, oh, I want to be marine biologists. And I tell Dad, I go, remind her of this moment. Because when children see dolphins for the first time, their eyes light up. And even adults that have gone out. I meet San Diego natives that have come out for the first time, and they're in their 40s or 50s, and I'm like, what took you so long? And I'm sure they're going to be coming back.
So it is, it is a life changer, a game changer.
It is.
For anybody that gets it.
Yes, it definitely changes somebody.
And what is it about the whales that sings in your heart that you're most touched by?
I have a personal connection with them. I've actually had an honor of swimming with humpback whales, so I've been in the water with them, and I've seen them.
How did you do that?
It's a tour, and I'm actually going back for my fifth time in a week.
Where is it?
It's in the Dominican Republic, and you spend a week on a liveaboard, and you swim, snorkel with whales, and I've been face-to-face, eye-to-eye with a full-size adult, you know, mother with a calf. And she's looking into my soul, I'm looking into her soul, and I've got that spiritual connection that will never go away.
So you feel it powerfully and intimately.
Very much so.
How many tons is this mother?
About 45 tons.
And you're inches away?
Probably about 7 to 8, 10 feet. I've had it one time, and a calf came up to me about 4 feet away. It's a little too close.
But you know of no incidents in the Dominican Republic where there's been any aggression on the part of the whales. People feel very trusting, and they trust you.
The whales are very trusting. Sometimes, unfortunately, there are some encounters where currents take a snorkeler too close. So that's not, you know, a clean record for sure. There's been some injuries, but of all the times I've gone, this will be my fifth time. Yeah, everything's been really good.
So you're willing literally to risk your life to have an intimate relationship with the whales.
If I'm going to go, that's where I want to go.
That's a great way, yeah. I always thought of blowing up in a helicopter in a volcano would count too.
So yeah, that's the thing. If it happens to be my time, let it happen there when I'm with the whales. And that's where I want to be laid to rest, spread with the whales.
Okay, so you're literally leaving next Thursday to go swim with the whales. Wow.
Yes, and every one of my volunteer friends are very jealous right now.
That's so cool. And you obviously are ready to do it again. Book your next trip, huh?
I'm trying to make it an every 2-3 year journey. It's kind of a spiritual experience for me. Cleanses my soul, kind of puts things in perspective. It can only do good things for me.
Can you think of any things? I know it's hard to translate into words, but the ways in which whales have changed you and your thinking and your life.
It's kept me happy. I wake up every day, and not a day goes by without me thinking about a whale or a dolphin. I believe I was put on this earth because of whales.
Wow, that's some powerful stuff.
And it's not even my occupation.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Kind of what's funny about it. It's not. This is all volunteer. If I could make it my occupation, I probably would. But I wouldn't be able to live in San Diego.
Right. How cool. And whale songs and that whole auditory experience. Talk about that for a moment.
The whale song. When you're in a location where there are humpback whales singing and you're able to see it or feel it and hear it, it's if you're in the water, you can feel the vibrations going right through you. And it's like they're trying to communicate with you. You don't understand what they're saying, but it's just absolutely beautiful.
But they literally are talking in a way to you, at you.
Yes, very true, yes.
How about in reverse? Do you sense any response of your verbalizations or any noises you make?
I think so. Like when we're on the boats, and even here for the gray whales, when they're down in the lagoons of off of Baja, they kind of clap on the boat and splash the water, and it seems to attract the whales. And the same when the silver bank with the humpbacks is making that noise, and if you're talking, they can probably feel that vibration from the hull of the boat. So it's that hope that there's some kind of understanding between us. If only we could speak the same language or understand each other's language.
Looking into the future, do you think there's prospect that could happen?
Larger.
That we scientists might figure out some keys.
Wow.
I know.
Right? Wouldn't that be amazing? Talk about a life changer. I don't know if I'll live that long to be alive when they do that, but that would be phenomenal. They're making a lot of scientific research strides to break that communication barrier. That would be wonderful.
And how often are you able to go out on a whale walk?
I go about 3-4 cruises. I volunteer on 3 cruises a month. Like, I'll come out on my own and maybe additional 2-3. It's getting loud right now because I think we're seeing some whales or dolphins right now.
Leslie, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It was nice talking with you.
And for further information, is there a website?
Look up San Diego Natural History Museum, the NAT, for more information on the program. The Whalers program has been in inception for 11 years now.
And you were one of the little pups when they first started it.
I was part of the original group, and there's probably still about 10 of us. We have about 80 volunteers this season. It's a nice group.
Thanks again, Leslie.
You're welcome.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from off the coast of San Diego aboard the MV Adventure Hornblower cruise vessel.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious 214 Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,